Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
So before we get into the sermon today, I just have a few quick announcements I want to share with you. If you're here for the 2-1 class, which is the class after membership, they're starting that up upstairs right now. So if you're here for that, you can go for that. The giving statements for 2012 are available immediately following service. They got them back there. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have yet to be baptized in water, we are going to have a water baptism in the next couple weeks. We haven't nailed down the date. It's going to be like in 2 to 3 weeks. So if you have not been baptized and you need to be baptized, contact either myself or Pastor Todd. You can send me a text, you can do whatever, and we'll get you water baptized. And the last announcement is, read your bulletin. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, would you please just bless this message today? Lord, would you use this message to speak directly to us? God, I need revelation from you, God, to be able to live my life. And so, God, would you just reveal your nature to me? Reveal your nature to us through this word. God, I pray that this would be a life-changing message, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does that sound a little hollow? Does it? It does. He's working on it. That's all right. Sounds like I'm heads in a bucket. So as many of you know, I was raised by a single mom. My father left my family when we were like 3 years old. And so my mom, because she was a single mom, she couldn't afford childcare. So my brother, who's 3 years older than me, was childcare. And so you can do the math on that one. And just a quick note, if you're a single mom, don't leave two boys home alone, ever. It's just not a good thing. But what would happen is in the summertime, when we were out of school, she would let us sleep in, and then we'd wake up in the morning, there would always be a list of the chores to do for the day. And so me and my brother would always start out the day with a quick negotiation, and we'd swap out chores to who to do what. And I, being the young man that I was, would immediately begin to do my chores after watching The Price is Right. And so we'd do our chores. I would do my chores. And for some reason, my brother would not do his chores until the end of the day. Now, my mom, having the job that she had, could come home at any moment. She would come out. Oh, thank you. She would come home at 1 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. You had no idea. And I always wanted to get mine done early because if I got them done early, I wouldn't have to worry about it, right? It would just be done. Now, my brother, on the other hand, he would just not care and he'd sit around and then she'd come home and get mad at him for not doing his chores. But I, being the good son, always did my chores. Why am I sharing that story with you today? Well, today we're going to talk about the judgment of God. And in John chapter 5, and you can turn there with me, and we're going to start with verse 19, and we're finishing up this part of the story with Jesus healing the guy at the well and how the Jews responded to him and how they wanted to go after him because he had broke the Sabbath. And Jesus is continuing this conversation. He's kind of telling them about what they should be looking for and the things that they need to be concerned with. And he starts in verse 19 and it says, Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Now, I understand that's a long portion of Scripture, but we're going to pull out some of the big main points of this so that you can understand what it means and how you can apply it to your life. The beginning and the end of the sermon is this, is that there's no fear in judgment, there's no fear in death. There isn't. What does this verse say? The first thing that this verse is explaining, and we've been revisiting this a lot over the last half of a year, and we're going to continue to revisit it, is that Jesus is the Son of God. He is. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God, but he is God in the flesh. And there's a distinction there because some people in that title of him having Son of Man or Son of God get this idea that God is here and Jesus is here when that's not how it is, where they are co-equal. Jesus is God, and it is the manifestation and the representation of God's nature through the life of Jesus. And this is something that we will constantly revisit because I think a lot of people think that Jesus is the Son of God only and that he is not God also. And I understand that's a hard thing to kind of fathom, but fathom it. It'll happen. And then Jesus in this discourse also, he's describing the connection between life and death. And the reason why he does that is he wants people to understand that it is God that has the power to give life and death. That's in God's hands. One of the reasons why I as a Christian don't believe in euthanasia or somebody taking their own life is because I believe that that decision is left up to God. It's not my decision when I leave this earth. It's God's decision when I leave this earth, and it's his choice to do so because he's God. And so Jesus is making sure that they know that. Jesus also says, and this is important to note, is that God is no longer the judge. In the sense that the way that the Jews understood it. And Jesus is saying, look, the baton is being passed to me as the Son, and I'm going to be the one that's going to judge the earth. So it's important that you understand your relationship with me, because you're going to stand before me on judgment day. You're not going to stand before God. And so Jesus is making that distinction also. And he says to him, he goes so far as to say, listen, if you dishonor me, it's as if you're dishonoring God himself. And that's another reason why it's important for people to understand the nature of Jesus, is because when you dishonor Jesus now, you're dishonoring God. If you're not honoring Jesus, you're not honoring God. Now, this is one part that he says, and we're going to talk about this a bit this morning. He says, if you believe in me, though, you're not going to be condemned. It's an important part to understand, because as soon as somebody starts talking about judgment or condemnation, you kind of get that little knot in your stomach. But the salve to that, the blessing to that, is that Jesus says, listen, you don't have to worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. If you believe in me, you will not be condemned. And he promises that everybody will hear the voice of Jesus, because he has all authority in the world to be able to do so, and that God depends on no one because he is God, and Jesus depends on no one because he is God. Now, what does this mean? Again, Jesus is God in the flesh. I know we've talked about this before. You're going to continue to hear this thing, because people get this idea, notion about who Jesus is, and it's false. In John chapter 20, verse 31, this is the whole entire point of the book of John, right here in verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The whole entire point of the book of John is that you would believe in Jesus. And so as we're going through this book over the next few years, if you say, man, he just keeps talking about believing in Jesus, because that's the point, folks. The point of the book of John and the point of the Christian walk is for us to believe in Jesus, to believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. And we're not going to revisit that in large measure today. You can go online. You can listen to the sermons from John chapter 1 and understand it. Now, here's the fun part. There is going to be a judgment on this earth. Amen? This is the fun part. People in America today want to pretend that the judgment of God is not coming. They want to get their little $5, and they want to, you know, get their lighted boxes that hang on the wall, and they want to just live life and go and do their jobs and everything else. And that's, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, America's lived in a relative prosperity for quite a while. I understand that we're in a recession. There's things that aren't going well. And for my generation, we're honestly just a bunch of whiners. I know that some of the people that are older that have been through things like the Great Depression or times of World War II scoff at the idea that for some reason my generation feels as though we're going through hard times. Because what we're going through right now pales in comparison to the things that people went through earlier in this century. And so because we have this relative prosperity, and when I say that, I mean, we've got it pretty good, folks. I mean, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, I mean, we've got running water, we got electricity, we got heat. If you don't have food, there's places to get it. And there's an abundance of food to be had around this nation. It's everywhere. And so we live in this relative prosperity where, you know, most streets are safe unless you live in a few places. But we just seem to forget or don't want to think about the fact that there is a judgment of God that's going to come knocking at the door one day. Like, it will happen. It's a foregone conclusion. It is a sure thing. As sure as you sit here, one day God is going to judge this earth. And a lot of preachers don't want to preach about it. I mean, it's scary, and some people say it's irrelevant, or they say it's less important, and they say, well, if you preach about the judgment of God, people are going to, you know, not want to go to your church because that's scary, and they're not going to be excited about serving God. And I say, listen, man, if it's in the Word, I have to preach it. I mean, that's one of the benefits of preaching through a book of the Bible is you can't glaze over something. You can't say, well, I don't really want to talk about judgment. Let's get to blessings. Let's get to that next part. People believe that somehow Jesus was this great moral teacher that came to give you this great fulfilling life if you would just apply his precepts to your life, but not to put actual faith in him and his word. They just don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that there's actually a God that we're held accountable to, or a God that we're going to have to answer to, or a God that we're going to have to face one day. It's just a whole lot easier to believe that all good people go to heaven and that bad people go to hell. And that's just not the facts, folks. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. This is the story. The story of the Bible is that this earth is progressing to a bloody end.
Yes.
And I know that's just not the most exciting thing to hear about on a Sunday morning, folks, but it's the truth. Now, when I say this earth is progressing to a bloody end, the good news is on the other side of that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful thing waiting on the other side of that bloody end, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be the best thing that we as believers have ever experienced in our entire existence. Folks, I've said this before, one out of one people die.
Yeah.
100% of people don't take anything with them. And after that, at some point, there is going to be a judgment when all people will stand before God and some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. It's true. Let me show you a few of these verses. It says in Matthew 25:32, all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. 2 Peter 3:7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. This is what Jesus is telling them. Now listen, in verse 22 he says, the Father judges no one but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. And in verse 27 it says he's given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And Jesus is the one that's going to be doing the judging. He's the one that's going to be standing there. He's going to be the one that's separating the sheep from the goats and deciding who's going to go to eternal punishment and who's going to be going to eternal glory. You know, you can't escape this fact, folks. There will be a judgment. There'll be a day when you're going to have to face the music, so to speak. We're going to have to be held accountable for the things that you've done in your life. And I understand that being held accountable is kind of it's just not in vogue nowadays. You know, people work at employers where employers are afraid to actually have their employees produce a result because they'll get sued for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It used to be if you don't produce, you get fired.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I remember when I was working at my previous employer. And annual review time came around. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely detest annual review time.
Amen.
One, twos, threes, and fours. Are you kidding me? This is like worse than elementary school. So I'm working at this job, and I had started out as a sales representative. I got promoted to sales manager, thinking that it would be easier. And folks, don't ever take the promotion. Just stay where you're at. I'm serious. Like, when you they promote you, thinking it's going to be better, and all you do is make about the same amount of money and work twice as hard. And then you're dependent on all the rest of the knuckleheads that couldn't figure it out to get your score, and it just doesn't work. So anyway, so I remember annual review time came around, and I had to go for my annual review. And I've been doing my job for probably about, I don't know, 6 or 9 months. And when I had this job, just let me explain this to you. I worked like 60 hours a week on this thing, man. Like I would leave the house at 6 a.m. and I'd get home at night after 6 p.m. and I was fully engaged that whole entire time. This isn't like sitting at a desk, you know, looking at the internet. Like I'm fully engaged for the whole entire time without rest or anything else. Driving places on the phone and going with reps and doing everything that it is. So I got to drive up to Kirkland for my annual review with my regional manager and the regional VP. And you know, they always start out with this sense of like, so how do you think you're doing? Right? And then you tell them all the great things that you did, and they say, yeah, that's really good. Let me tell you what you're not doing. And so then it was like my whole entire review was ones and twos. The whole entire review. And I've been giving every last bit of my emotion to this job. Like literally just killing myself trying to win, trying to succeed, and all I got was ones and twos. Crystal and the kids had driven up with me and were waiting in the van because I figured, this ain't going to take too long. I'll just run in, do this, we'll go out to dinner. Hour and a half later, I come out. And literally, I kid you not, I was in tears. And I'll tell you, Crystal looked at me and she was like, man, what's the matter? Can I just explain to you how bad it feels when you try your hardest and you fail? And maybe you've never experienced that before, man, but I like winning. I hate losing. And when you try your hardest and you fail, it's hard to bounce back from that. Like it's hard to pick yourself up and say, man, I'm gonna do better. And sometimes when it comes to the judgment of God, it kind of feels like that. It feels this sense of like, okay, so why is the judgment of God coming for me? Because I'm trying as hard as I can, God. And it seems like at every turn I'm trying my hardest, but I'm not getting to that place that I know that you want me to be, that place that I know I need to be, and I don't want to miss heaven. I mean, let's be honest. Who wants to miss heaven? None of us want to miss heaven. And so you start thinking about the judgment of God and verses about the judgment of God, and it gives you this weariness in your soul where you just get, well, heck, what hope is there for me if the judgment of God is coming? Because if I was judged by my works, if I was judged by my abilities, I would be sorely just mistaken to think that I could make heaven because I'm just not good enough. But here's the best part. If you believe in Jesus, the judgment is nothing to fear. There is no fear. There is no annual review coming. Yes. It's fours across the board. Exceeds expectations. That's what the annual review is going to say when you stand before Jesus. If you believe in Him. It is the most exciting thing to behold, to know that one day I can stand before God and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Glory to God. Oh, man. Whew. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. I want to read you the scripture. Excuse me. Yeah, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Himself as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, Because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Amen? Amen. Folks, this is powerful stuff. This is those life-changing portions of Scripture that are game changers. When you're laying in bed at night wondering whether or not I'm going to make it, these are the Scriptures that you read to comfort you that know that if you have belief in Jesus, you are going to glory. Amen? Amen. There is no fear in death. There is no fear for the future. There is no fear of a judgment. There is nothing but a loving expectation of God's justice being laid out before all humanity, knowing that you will stand before God blameless because of your belief in Jesus Christ. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. By faith, we believe that Jesus paid for our sins through his death, burial, and resurrection. The remedy and escape from the judgment of God is to believe in a sacrifice of Jesus. That's the way that you get into a right relationship with God. And I know that some of you may say that, you know, Pastor, I get this, man. You know this. Well, if you know it, it should comfort you. Because I love hearing about this, man. I could just sit and listen about the grace of God every single day. I love hearing it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I never get tired of listening to my kids tell me that they love me. I never get tired of listening to my wife tell me that she loves me. And I never get tired of God telling me that he loves me. I never get tired of it. But part of the reason why I always revisit this truth is because I don't believe that just because someone goes to church, they know what it means to be a Christian. I'm not trying to say anything bad about you people. I love you guys, man. We family. I love you guys. But I served God for like 10 or 15 years before I finally understood what this means. Before I finally understood it. And I think it's the most transformational truth in the Christian walk that there is. And it's important that we understand this. And there's people that come to church and get this idea about what being a Christian truly is without really fully understanding what that means. They think that being a Christian is going to church. They think being a Christian is singing the songs, or they think being a Christian is taking part in some ordinance of the church. And it's just not true. Being a Christian means you believe in the Easter story. And you follow Jesus. That's what being a Christian is. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he went to heaven and paid the price and the penalty for your sins. And now you believe and put your faith in him to make your way to heaven. That's the only card that we have, folks, is the belief in Jesus' atoning sacrifice. It means you have to put to death yourself and now live for Jesus. You believe that he paid the penalty. And because of that, get this, folks, you live differently. If you believe this, your life should change. And if you look at your life and you say, man, when I put my faith in Jesus, my life didn't change. Either you are a fantastic, holy person before that, or you really haven't got the truth yet. Because it's when the grace of God comes upon you, it changes every last thing about the way that you view this world. Everything. And there really shouldn't be any problem with a pastor having to talk about things in regards to the Bible that shouldn't offend you. They shouldn't make you upset. They should make you glad that you're being refined in righteousness because you have a belief and a faith in Jesus. What happens in a church is a lot of times pastors don't preach the truth of the cross and preach the truth of the gospel. And so what happens is that they're preaching to a bunch of unregenerated, unsaved people. And so they're afraid to preach the truth of the Bible. Yeah. I want you to understand and receive and be transformed by the grace of God. Because then there's no fear. There's no fear in having to hear the hard parts about Scripture. Because like, oh, that's good. I'm going to heaven. Bless God. But that's good. I want to be refined in this way. It's not just believing in the story. It's actually putting your faith in the story. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference between believing in the story and putting your faith in the story. You know, a few years ago, I was at Young Life Camp, and there's this camp that they have down in Oregon. It's called Washington Family Ranch, and they've got this zip line that is, I think it's probably about 150 feet off the ground, and it's a quarter mile long, and it goes into a lake. Man, it's awesome. Like, you show up to the camp, and you hear that sound, and then they, like, whoosh into the water. And it looks really cool, man. I loved watching people go on it. It's a lot of fun watching them do that, man. They look like they're having a great time. Well, the way that Young Life runs their business is that if you're a leader, you have to do what your kids are doing, no matter what. And I don't know if you know this about me. I don't like being uncomfortable. I don't like being wet. I don't like being dirty. I don't like that at all. And that's all Young Life does. Wet, dirty, uncomfortable nastiness. And then they tell the truth about the gospel. And so they have this schedule for you for the week. And they say, okay, this group goes to this place and does this thing. And so it came up for our group to go to the zip line. And I'll tell you, man, I'm 6'5", so I don't have any need to be any higher. Like, I'm fine. I've reached as high as I like to go. I'm completely fine with it. When I change the light bulb in my house, I have Crystal hold my waist because I don't want to fall off the chair. So we get up to this thing. And folks, I don't know if you've ever been in like one of them funny looking harnesses, but it just, it's not, like there's this tiny little piece of metal called a carabiner that's the difference between life and death. That's all it is, this little U-shaped, yeah, it's like that. It's just like a little U-shaped thing. That's all it is. It's the difference between life and death. And so I'm sitting up there and all my little kids are going down the thing, whatever, and they look at me, all 250 pounds of me, waiting for me to get on this thing. And I thought, you know what? You guys have a really good time. But nobody gets to opt out of this thing, man. And I tell you, there's a whole world of difference between believing in something and putting your faith in something. Before we did it, I've seen hundreds of people go down that zip line and nothing happened. They'd had that things for years without one injury, one casualty, nothing that had happened in this thing. But it came a point where I had to go from thinking that it's a good idea to actually putting my faith in it. You guys see what I'm saying? It's no different in our Christian walk. See, what's interesting is that a lot of times people will say things to me because I'm a pastor, like, Pastor, I wish I had your kind of faith. I wish I could serve God like you do. And I always say, man, what's holding you back? The belief in God and walking with complete faith in Him isn't reserved for the few.
That's right.
It's for all of us. It's for all of us to live by faith. It's for all of us to put all of our faith in Him, to exercise this belief that I can get in to a relationship with Jesus and He will support every last part of my life. He will take care of every single need that I have. I'm not just going to idly stand by and watch everybody else experience the goodness of God. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and experience it for myself.
Amen.
What does it mean to you? Folks, the first thing is you need to remember that the judgment is coming. You can't forget this fact. Sometimes, and it happens to people, is we care so much about what the world is doing and what's going on in the world.
Yeah, come on.
And we get wrapped up in it.
Yes, we do.
Like there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, man. There's a lot of things that you can see on the road of life that's on either side. Pretty flowers and different things. But like we just get so wrapped up in what the world is doing. Can you believe that he lied about his girlfriend for all that whole time? Seriously? This is front page news? Man, college football players been lying about girlfriends for a lot of years. We get so wrapped up in it, so worried about it. Oh, man, did you see what happened on so-and-so's show? And I can't believe that they said that. Getting so wrapped up in the things of this world. And you know what's hard is that some Christians, will go so far as to say we're going to have complete and, you know, disengagement from the world. And I don't advocate that, because if you completely disengage from the world, you're not going to be able to reach the world. Okay? You're not going to be able to reach them where they're at and have conversations with them and be a part of it. But there's a whole different realm between being in the world and being a part of the world.
Yeah.
It's just different. You have to go where the people are to be able to share with them the love of God, but you can't care about it so much. Like, I enjoy reading the news, but mostly because it gives me indications of where the world is going and for me to be able to preach against it.
Yeah.
Zig Ziglar used to say, he said, there's two things you need to read every single day, your Bible and the newspaper. So that way you know what the other side is doing.
Yeah.
It's like reading the enemy report every single morning. See what they're doing. But spending too much time worrying about famous people is not godly and a waste of time.
Yeah, come on.
And I'll just say it, man. If you watch award shows, why? Like, seriously. Like, these people are so rich and so famous and on movies and print and everything else. And then they need numerous award shows in addition to that. And there ain't just like one. Like, there's countless of them. Did you see what they were wearing? And did you see what the thing? It just. People end up caring more about their career progression than the advancement of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worrying more about where you are at in the career ladder, rather caring about where the kingdom is being advanced. Caring more about entertainment than your Bible. Caring more about sports scores than baptism scores. Don't get me wrong, I'm a Seahawks fan, and I was upset for about 15 minutes after the Seahawks lost. And then I was like, all right, well, Jesus is still on the throne. What are we having for dinner? Like, it's just... People care more about being correct than knowing the truth. You can be completely wrong and have it not line up with what the truth of God is. People care more about what people think about them than what God thinks about them. You care more about what electronics you possess instead of what fruits of the Spirit you possess. Need to get some eye patience. Eye joy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life, folks. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. Nothing wrong with doing things. You know, what I love is that, I'm just going to use the videos today. And you guys are such a beautiful family. You guys know these folks? They're great people. And you know, they all came in with their Mariners gear on today. And I said, man, what are you guys doing? He goes, oh, there's some thing going on at Safeco Field. I was like, bless God, man. See, that's a family that has priorities. We're going to get up early so we can go to church and we can go up to Safeco. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. You have a fantastic time today. They'll have a great time. But they're still honoring God. They're teaching their kids the way in which they should go. They're living their lives in a certain precept instead of saying, well, you know what? Why don't we just get up there early? No. And we're going to honor God and then we'll go. It's a great opportunity to enjoy time with your family. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a great meal, bless God, or a vacation. All the benefits of being a member of this earth. I always include this in my sermon. You can have jet skis, amen, snowmobiles, watercraft, four-wheelers, whatever you want. But you have to own that stuff and not have that stuff own you. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference between you having some toy and using it as a means to bring somebody into the kingdom. There's a difference between, you know, having a pretty boat and then being able to take all the sinners you know out on it. Rather like, oh, this is for me. This is only for me. Or using it as a tool to be able to share the gospel. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? It's not even the amassing of stuff that is the problem. It's a heart condition that doesn't want to face the reality of one day you will no longer be on this earth. People want to forget this fact. Pretend that this is your final destination. It's easy to get wrapped up in this world and forget that Christ is coming back. And someday the world is going to sit underneath His judgment. Folks, this should change the way that you live. Every last part. We should be more loving. We really should. If we remember that the judgment of God is coming and we've been delivered through it through Jesus Christ, we should love people more. We should love the unlovable. Love those people that are mean. Love those people that are mean to us. Love those people that aren't nice to us, because we're loved by God. We should be more forgiving. Christians should always be the first person to forgive. Always. And we forgive people even when they don't forgive us. And we don't worry about whether or not we're justified or whether the thing was equaled out. We forgive because God forgave us. We should be more giving. It's just stuff, man. It doesn't matter. God could call you home tomorrow. And what if you had the opportunity to be giving to somebody and you didn't take it? And we should be humble. We should be more humble because of what God has done in our lives. And we should be more focused on the people of this world that do not yet know Jesus. Now, here's the best part, folks. I know I've been hammering you today on the judgment of God because I want you to understand it. But in addition to remembering the judgment of God, the other part of it is you have to remember that you have crossed from death to life if you are a believer in Jesus. Like, for those of you that know this fact this morning, even me talking about judgment, you had some almost this righteous indignation rise up inside. You're like, I'm not worried about that. As well you should. There's no fear. No fear in judgment, because as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as I put my faith in Him, I have crossed from death to life. I'm not subject to the wrath of God. I do not have to worry about Him knocking on my door because I have put my faith in Jesus. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life, bless God, and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Folks, if you are sitting here this morning and you have not just received, but actually put your faith in Jesus, you can rest easy today. Amen? You can rest secure knowing that you will make heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Just exhale. Oh, thank you. It's an exciting thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. We rejoice in the hope. Folks, I am so excited that I'm spending eternity with Jesus. Man, I'm just so excited that no matter what happens in this world, that I don't have to worry about it because it's a temporary existence, that my eternal existence is going to be with God forever. Forever in heaven. Amen. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I stand before God blameless. All the nastiness that I ever committed, all the horrible things that I ever did, all the wrong things I said and did and were a part of, God looks at me as holy and blameless, and He bestows upon me sonship. Amen. He calls me son. He calls me the best. He says, you're the pinnacle. All because of what Jesus did on the cross. It has nothing to do with who I am. Nothing at all. I'm a wretched sinner. But through Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. Bless God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you this scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to just read you a few verses. We're starting verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made us known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ.
Amen.
God decided long ago that He wanted us to be His sons and daughters. And folks, I understand that for some of you, this might be an impossible thing to grasp. Impossible thing to grasp how much God loves you. Or even to grasp that you could actually be adopted as His son or adopted as His daughter and be able to receive full inheritance of His blessings. See, the nature of God's blessings is that you realize if you accept Him now or if you accept Him 10 years from now, you receive the same inheritance. That's the way that it works. God wants to bestow on you the full blessings. And you say, well, how is that possible? You know, I don't know if you guys know this story about Pastor Todd and Pastor Aubrey, but they've only been married for what, 4 years? How long are you guys married? 4 years? And did you know that they gave birth to an 8-year-old daughter 1 year into their marriage? It's one of the most amazing things of God. Because of a family situation that was going on in another state, Aubrey had a niece that was not with family. And the state called and said, hey, we've got a ready-made daughter for you. Want her? And this is their first year of marriage, man. And they said, yes. And the reason why I tell you that story is, first off, because I think Todd and Aubrey are awesome. That's the first reason. But the second reason why I tell you that story is that Rhonda is not their offspring. They didn't give birth to her. They didn't produce her into this world. She is not their natural born child. But because of Rhonda becoming a part of their family, she has been engrafted into the house of Summer. She receives full rights and benefits of that name. And it has nothing to do with what she had done before. It has nothing to do with her stature or what her background was. Sure, there was a family connection there, but they didn't have to do it. But now she's been engrafted into this family and will receive a full inheritance of what the Summer family has because they adopted her as their daughter. They're not auntie and uncle. They're mom and dad. That is their daughter. And I'll tell you, you go ahead and tell Todd that Ron is not his daughter. You go ahead. You have that conversation with him. I'll be curious to see how that one ends. God wants to receive you as a son and a daughter. Sonship. Full engrafting, just inheritance. Folks, this should cause you to praise God. Amen? You know, when you're here at this church, you see a bunch of whack jobs with their hands in the air doing their thing. You say, man, what happened to them? You know what happened is they finally received and understood what they got delivered from. They finally understood that they received sonship, that they received an inheritance in heaven. Would you receive that today? Would you just receive? And I know we talked about judgment this morning, but if you've received Christ, don't even fear it. But let me do this. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads this morning for a minute? Would you just do this? If you are here this morning and you have never received or ever, I would say never put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. If you've never done that before, I want to give you opportunity to do it. See, I believe that right now, through the power of the preaching of the word, that God transforms lives. And today I want to ask you, if you would put your faith in Jesus, would you put your faith in the true Savior? Would you put your faith in the one that can redeem and save? And it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of your goodness. It's because of His goodness. I don't want to make a spectacle of you this morning, but if you've never done that and you want to declare to God that you want to put your faith in Him, would you just raise your hand and say, "That's me," because I just want to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody, thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Now, maybe you've been sitting in this church a long time and you're like, "Man, I'm going to go raise my hand and let Pastor know that I didn't know or understand this before today." That's fine. God knows your heart. Just put your faith in Him this morning. Put your belief in Him. God, we love you so much. God, you are so powerful and you're so mighty. God, thank you for sending Jesus for us to pay the penalty for our sins that we're just forgiven of so much, God. God, let us never forget what you did for us. Let us never forget what a blessing it is to be called your son, to be called your daughter. God, I pray that it would just help us to live our lives differently. God, that we would just be transformed by this truth, transformed by your grace. God, I praise you this morning that we've crossed from death to life. Father, we praise you, we glorify you, and we lift you up. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. 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 Hallelujah.